Hello, everyone. Thanks for being here. It's a joy to be at this camp just with all of you this whole week. I've enjoyed my time just being with the saints away from the world, and it's an honor to be up here as well, teaching the Word of God, which is something that I know how much I need it. So I wanted to thank Tom for giving me the privilege of teaching all of you today. So we're going to be getting into Ephesians 5 this morning. We're going to be looking at more of how being made a part of the body of Christ, being made a part of the purpose of the ages, affects us in real life. Because if it's just words on a page, then what are we even here for? I can go to school. I went to college already. Got lots of knowledge. You know, if that's all it is, go to college. Why are we here? It's because we want to live it, because we want to take it home, because we want to do it. We don't want to just be hearers of the word and not doers, but we want to be doers of the word. So, you know, let's make sure that we're paying attention. Make sure that we're listening. We got two more chapters to go in this book. We got four more teachings. So let's go to Ephesians chapter 5. And it starts off with a bang. It says, "Be ye therefore followers or imitators of God as dear children." I think we've seen this week that what we're called to is not a physical thing. It's not something we can do by the flesh. It's not something we can do by our own strength. If there was any doubt that you needed God's ability, that you need the ability that God gives, get rid of that thought. Get rid of that thought that you can do it by your own strength, because it's asking us to imitate God. That's impossible by our own strength. It is. It's impossible. You cannot do it. But because of what God has done for us in Christ, we can do it. It says, be therefore imitators of God as dear children. You know, we've been made dear children. We've been made beloved children of the Most High God. That gives us the ability to imitate him. You know, go back to chapter 4, verse 24 real quick. What we learned yesterday about putting off the old man, being renewed in the spirit of your mind, putting on the new man. It says this new man, and that you put on the new man, verse 24, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. You know, that new man that we put on, that is like God. That takes after God. That new nature. You know, if you look at children, any of you have kids? Any of you are kids? You should all have your hands raised. Yeah, we're all kids. We take after our parents. We take after them, you know? You've got a little kid who follows his dad around and does everything that his dad does. You know, that kid doesn't have to try hard to imitate his father, a lot of, you know, in some ways. He's got the same mannerisms. He's got the same tendencies. It comes naturally to him because he's his son, you know? That's how children work. God has made us his children. That's what gives us the ability to imitate him. It doesn't come automatically. We have to choose to do this. We have to choose to put it on. But this great calling, part of which is imitating God Almighty, it is by the ability that he has given us. We've been made his children. That gives us the ability to imitate him. And so that's a tremendous thing to consider. But, you know, one of the main ways that we do imitate God, verse 2, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. You know, walking in love is such a tremendous thing. It's such a precious thing that we do for each other. You look at the way Jesus Christ loved the church. You know, what was his example of loving the church? He gave himself for it. He gave his life for the church. You know, that's the example that's been set for us. You know, we don't just pray for people once in a while. That's good. It's good that you pray. We don't just talk to people on Sundays. We're not just nice to them as we pass them. And, you know, we just say, hi, how's it going? Hope you're doing well. And we love them. We give ourselves for them, for this body, for these people that you may not have anything in common with them except for Christ. But think of what Christ had in common with us, you know? He was separate from us, but he reached out and he gave his life for us. to bring us to God. That's what we do for each other. We seek out each other. We seek out each other's good. We don't just help each other when it's put on our, when it's put right in front of us. We seek out, what can I do for you? You know, 1 Corinthians 12 talks about the body of Christ, and it says, as members one of another, when one member rejoices, we all rejoice. When one member suffers, we all suffer with them. You know, that's not automatic. You know, when one member is rejoicing, doesn't mean everyone is automatically going to rejoice. We have to choose to do that. You know, if one member is suffering, it doesn't mean that every member is automatically going to be suffering. But I'll tell you what, if you are so unaware of your brother's suffering, the body of Christ is suffering. You know, it's suffering because we are not taking care of each other. This is something that we have been called to do, to be aware of each other's lives, to know what we can do for each other, to seek each other out, to find out what's going on, to be involved with each other. You know, that's what love does. Love does not sit on the sidelines. Love does not watch things happen and wonder who's going to take care of it. Love seeks out, what can I do for my brother? Love goes to God and says, God, please show me what I can do. Love is active. Love is personal. You know, that's the standard that Jesus Christ set. He sought out, what can he do? You know, he was very aware of what God had called him to do, and he did it. So, you know, let's get back to verse, let's go on to verse 3. You know, it's going to talk a little bit about what we are called to and called from. We're going to talk a little bit about what it means to have a calling. It says in verse 3, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints, or as is fitting for saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, which is just another word for fitting, but rather giving of thanks. It says we're it's not fitting for us. It's not becoming of us as saints. It's not convenient. Let me tell you, I recently read To Kill a Mockingbird. It's an old book. Lots of people really like it. I think it's pretty good. It has, the main character is this 9-year-old girl, and she lives down in the South. And she, most of the time, she hangs out with her older brother and her best friend, who's a boy. And she's a tomboy. What she does all throughout her day is she runs around with the boys. She gets in fights. She jumps in the creek and gets muddy. She skins her knees. She cusses. And all the ladies in the town, they constantly tell her, this isn't becoming of a young lady. You know, this isn't fitting. This isn't proper for a young lady to do. And what do you think her reaction is to that? Her reaction is, I don't care. I want to do this. Okay. This is how a calling works. We have been called. You know, that little girl was being called to be a proper Southern lady. She didn't want any part of it. And, you know, that's okay. But we have been called to the purpose of the ages. We've been called to be the body of Christ. There are things that are fitting in that. There are things that are going to help with that. There are things that are going to promote that in our lives. You know, this section, it's talking about sin. It's talking about fornication, uncleanness, covetousness, filthiness, foolish talking, jesting. It's talking about sin. But this section is not talking about sin is bad, so you shouldn't do it. We recently studied Romans in our church, Romans 6, where it talks about, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall they that are dead to sin live any longer in it? In that section, it's not talking about sin is bad, so you shouldn't do it. That's true. Sin is bad. You shouldn't do it. what that section in Romans 6 is bringing up something new. It's saying you have no connection with sin. You are dead to sin. How can you possibly live any longer in it? This section is similar. It's bringing up sin, and as we know, sin is bad. But it's pointing out something new. It's pointing out not that it's just bad, but how does this fit in with the purpose of the ages? You know, Does fornication fit in with Christ, what Christ has called us to? No, it has no place. It doesn't fit in with that. It's not proper for a saint. How can covetousness fit in with what Christ has called us to? Covetousness is saying that I need more. I'm not satisfied. If you understand who you are in Christ, if you understand what Christ has called us to be and how complete he's made us, if we really believe that we are complete in Christ, does this greed for more have any place in our lives? How does that fit? It just doesn't make sense. You know, this is not talking about sin is bad, so you shouldn't do it. It's talking about we've been called to something new. We've been called to something greater. And if we want to walk in that thing that's greater, we have to make a choice. You know, certain things fit and certain things do not. One thing that it says that does fit is rather giving of thanks. We're going to learn more about that later on in the chapter, but just hang on to that for now. But I wanted to point out one more in this section. It says, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. You know, if I'm not taking part in any of these things, but my brother is, are these things named among us?
Yes.
Yeah, they are. We're a body. What I do affects you. What you do affects me. And we have to be aware of not just what's going on in my life and am I walking worthy of the calling we've been called to, but are you? Let's go on to verse 5. It says, for this you know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. You know, like I said, we're not going to study too much into the nature of sin and why it's evil. That's not our purpose today. But just consider, if God Almighty doesn't want anything to do with those who commit such things, do we really want to bring them into our lives? Do we really want to bring them into the body of Christ? You know, if God says this is something I can't be around, then do I want to bring it in to the body of Christ? Do I want to allow my brother or sister to bring it into the body of Christ, this thing that Jesus Christ bled and died for? I say no. It's not welcome here. You know, we have a purpose that's too big to allow these things to come in. And we have a purpose too big that I'm going to allow you to bring it in. You know, we hold each other accountable. That's part of the body of Christ. That's part of what we do. So be not ye therefore partakers with them. It says in verse 8, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. He's going to talk a little about something different now, about light. Light is that which makes known. Light reveals. You know, we have the lights in here so that it reveals your books, your texts. As you're writing, you can see what's going on because you have the light. That's what light does. It says, walk as children of light. And the next verse is a parenthesis, so we're just going to skip real quick and come back to verse 9. Walk as children of light, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. You know, as we walk as children of light, we're going to be able to prove what is acceptable unto the Lord. We're going to be able to see what is acceptable unto the Lord. And, you know, that's what we've been called to. You know, we've been called to not just do whatever we feel like. We've been called to walk in a new way, as we saw in chapter 4. You know, if we continue in darkness, if we continue in not revealing what's going on in our minds and going on in our hearts, we might never know that what we're doing is it acceptable unto the Lord or is it not acceptable unto the Lord. We have to shine that light in our lives and find out. Verse 9, I'm going to go back to that. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. The fruit of the Spirit, the word Spirit, in most of the texts, it's light. You know, this verse isn't talking about the fruit of the Spirit. It's talking about the fruit of the light. is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. What light does, it reveals. And evil and wickedness and lies hate that. You know, it says the fruit of the light is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. Light reveals things, and it gives goodness and righteousness and truth a place to be, a place to grow, a place to flourish. As we walk as children of light, it's going to reveal things in our lives. We shine the light of God's word in our life. We pay attention when the word of God is spoken. We listen. We allow it to work in our hearts. It's going to show some things that aren't really good. Who's been reproved this week by the word of God? Yeah, me too. I didn't really like it at the time. I said, this sucks. You know, I don't like this. Part of me wishes I'd never heard it. But now that I've heard it, I can change, and I can, goodness and righteousness and truth have a chance to grow in my heart. I have a chance to change and have something different in me. Let's see, verse 11. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. You know, this is something else that light does. It reproves. You know, we are light in the Lord. We walk as children of light. As we do that, things are going to be exposed, not just in our lives, but in each other's lives. You know, the way I got reproved this week was, first of all, by just seeing what's going on in everyone else's life, seeing some of the fruit that's in other people's lives, and saying, that's not in my life. I don't see that. It's not there. Why not? And so I shined the light a little bit more in my heart, and I saw, oh, that's why it's not there. You know, and then it started to hurt a little bit. It started to get a little painful. But I kept shining the light, and I kept seeing more and more, and I kept seeing what needs to change and what needs to happen. And as I continued to shine the light, it revealed what was going on. It revealed what needed to change. And I chose to do that. I chose to listen. And let's see. I'll get back to that in a second. Verse 12, for it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are approved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. When it says doth make manifest, a lot of translations handle that are made manifest. You know, it says whatever is made manifest is light. As the light of God's word shines in your life, as the light of Jesus Christ shines on us, whatever's in us is made manifest. And we have the choice to change. We have the choice to listen. We have the choice to decide to walk according to this calling. And what happens when we change? That darkness is replaced with light in our hearts. And that light starts to shine. You know, as I decide to listen, as I decide to change, that light starts to shine out of my life. You know, as it shines out of all you. And then others can see it. Others can be reproved. And we're filled with light. You know, we're shining as lights in this world. You know, I could give you an example. You know, where's Robert? Robert's back there. My brother Robert and I, we weren't raised in Columbus. We were raised in a small town, small hick town, where everyone in the town, they always chewed chewing tobacco constantly. And from the day we were born until we turned 20 and moved to Columbus, this is completely made up. When we moved to Columbus, but until that time, we always chewed chewing tobacco. We chewed it and we spat it, and there were spittoons everywhere. And we thought that was the normal thing. We thought that was, everyone does this. You know, it's not gross, it's just what you do. So we come to Columbus and we just keep chewing tobacco because that's what you do. And after a while, Robin and I kind of realized some people don't really like this that much. They think it's kind of gross. They think it's kind of gross that we spit everywhere, and our breath stinks. But one day, Robert was reading the Word of God, and it says, "Where you walk in love, where you consider the needs of others ahead of yourselves." And he thought, maybe if I didn't spit everywhere and brush my teeth once in a while, it would be a blessing to my brother. And so he decided to do that. He decided to change. And And so he's doing that. And then I see him. And Robert is more of a blessing to people. And people aren't holding their noses around him. And I'm wondering, what happened? What changed? He saw the light of the Word of God. He saw the light and he decided to walk in it. It was revealed to him that, hey, there's a higher calling. It's not just about what do I want and what do I need. It's about what's going to bless my brother. What's going to take care of my brother? How can I love him? And he started to do that. And then it showed me, you know, I saw how that was affecting those around him. And I thought, maybe I can do the same. Maybe I'd want to do the same so that I can be a blessing to those around me, so that I can take care of those around me. You know, as we take heed to the light of God's word, it's not just gonna change us. It's gonna shine out of our lives. And this is not just about reproving people. This is not just about doing what's right and not doing what's wrong. It's also about a lot of greater things. Turn to Luke 7. Here, this being made light in the Lord. You know, as we walk in Christ and as we put on the new man and put off the old man and are renewed in our minds, we do more than just show people what's right and wrong. Luke 7, in verse 36, this is talking about Jesus Christ in his earthly ministry, and he went to dinner with a Pharisee. Verse 36, and one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment, and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with ointment. Now when the Pharisee which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. You know, this Pharisee was very aware of who this woman was and what she did and what she was about. And it was very clear. But did this Pharisee offer anything else? All he did was he knew that this woman was a sinner. And he said, okay, then I'm done with her. I'm not going to have anything to do with her. Look what Jesus Christ does. Verse 47 says, wherefore I say unto thee, speaking to the Pharisee, her sins which are many are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. As light in the Lord, we reveal much more than just sin. We reveal Christ. We reveal his love, his grace, his forgiveness, his power and glory, the joy that's available. We shine that, you know, we walk in that, you know. As I look around the room, I see people who are just overflowing with the joy that only comes from Christ. I see people that have forgiveness that they didn't get from themselves, you know. That's light. It reveals. And what does it reveal? It reveals Christ. You know, that's what we've been made to be. That's what we've been called to be. We are Christ. And as we walk in that, what do people see? They see Christ. So let's go back to Ephesians 5. So verse 14 says, wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Yeah. We want the world to see Christ. We want each other to see Christ. He's in us. That's where we're going to see him. So verse 15, let's move on. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. It says just consider what you're doing. You know, walk circumspectly. It's not a real complicated thing. It just means think about what you're doing. You know, as we walk through this world, there are times when we just kind of, where we just, you know, I've been in the position where I just don't realize how I got so messed up, how I got to the point where I'm not walking in the new man, where I'm not walking in Christ. There are times when I don't even know how that happened. Well, God tells us. God tells us how to do these things. He tells us how to put off the old man, to be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and to put on the new man, to believe God's word. He tells us how to do that. And it just takes some thinking to consider, hey, am I doing this? You know? Am I walking in a new creation? Or am I just doing things the way I used to do? You know? We've been called to do something new. We've been called to walk in a new way, but it's up to us to decide to do that. You know, redeeming the time because the days are evil. It's buying up the time. You know, the days that we're in now, they are evil. The devil is working. He's going to do what he's going to do. Do we buy that time up? Do we buy that time back from him and decide, no, Christ's will is going to be done instead of the devil's will? That's up to us. Wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. You know, God has given us so much wisdom in his word, so much ability to understand what's going on, to know what's going on. It's up to us just to consider, to see what's going on, and to decide to do it or not. So, verse 18, in light of that, there are some things that it tells us we can do. Verse 18, speak and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. If we've been called to be part of Christ, you know, if we've been called to be in Christ, to be part of the purpose of the ages, does it make sense to just go back to just doing whatever makes you feel good? Just go back to getting drunk all the time, just partying? No, it doesn't make sense. Be filled with the Spirit of God that he's placed in you. It's the seal that you are in Christ. It's what inclines you to be more like Christ, you know? Follow that. Whatever the Spirit of God is in you is inclining you to do, follow that. Roll with that. Do it. Now, we can be clear what the Spirit of God is and isn't. You know, if the Spirit of God, if you think the Spirit of God is compelling you right now to jump up and start yelling and shouting and, you know, throwing Play-Doh at each other, that's not the Spirit of God. Because the Word of God tells us that that God does things decently and in order. But we've got the Word of God. We've got the Spirit of God. We can do those things. We can follow those things. Whatever, if the Spirit of God is working in you to talk to someone, go for it. You know, if the Spirit of God is putting words in your mouth to sing a new song, you do it. You know, whatever the Spirit of God is working in you to do, don't quench it. Follow it. That's the Spirit that makes you a son of God. That's the Spirit that puts you in the body of Christ. Verse 19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, since we're in Christ, since we're complete in Christ, and we've been blessed with all spiritual blessings, since we didn't deserve a single thing, since we've been blessed more than anyone has ever been blessed, and we deserved it less than anyone else, is it fitting for us ever to be unthankful? No. Oh, it's so great to be thankful. Don't you want to be thankful? Don't you? I mean, who spends their times just sitting around moping and being unthankful? Is that what you want? Is that what's fitting in Christ? If we've been blessed, we're thankful. We recognize that. We believe it. We walk in that. You know, if God is so great, if God is so wonderful, if Christ has really been placed as the head of all things and we've been placed in him, do you think we have some songs to sing about that? Do you think we have some, do you think that can live in our heart and flow out of our heart? You know, if that's not in your heart, you can change that. You know, if you're not joyful and thankful for what God has done for us in Christ, you can change that and you can join the body of Christ as it gives thanks to God, as it glorifies God, the one who saved us, the one who made us who we are, the one who, hallelujah, the one who has been around since the beginning of time, the one who put this purpose of the ages together, the one who sent Jesus Christ, the only perfect man, the one who saved us, the one who has all wisdom and has put all of his wisdom in Jesus Christ and has put Christ in us, we can praise him together. That's what we've been called to. We haven't been called to wallowing in the filth with the rest of this world. We've been called to something greater. Yeah. Yeah, this is something I've seen this week of just how great it is just to rejoice together with other Christians, to be thankful together, to glorify God together. You know, it's not just about I've been blessed in Christ, I've been blessed by God. It's about we've been put together, and it's a great thing we get to enjoy together. And you know, I'm not sure how I missed it for so long, but I've seen it in a big way this week, and I'm so thankful to be part of this thing with all of you, and that we're going to rejoice in Christ for all of eternity. We're going to do this forever, so let's just get started now. Last verse, verse 21. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. You know, this is not a difficult subject, submitting yourselves one to another. Because when I look at you, I can choose to see Christ. You know? And anyone in this room, if you're born again, you're in Christ. And you can walk as Christ. And if Christ is working in you to do something, I'm going to say, what can I do to help you? What can I do to follow along with that? You know? We do that every day. We've done that every day this week, you know? When the song leader is up here and he says, turn to number 86. You know, we don't all stand up and say, I'd rather sing number 85. No, that's silly. But the thing is, if you're submitting one to another, then Christ gets to work. Christ gets to lead us. And Christ gets to do what he wants to do. You know, when Jesse says, turn to number 86, and we all turn to number 86, and he starts singing, and we all start singing with him, then we get to praise God together because we decided to submit. Submitting is not just about I have to do what other people say. Submitting is about taking part in what Christ is doing. You know, and whatever he's doing, in whatever situation Christ is working, you say, what can I do to help with that? What can I do to be a part of that? Might not be anything except pray, you know? Something simple as being at a lunch table, you know? You're sitting at your lunch table and you're having a conversation about, you know, about nothing real specific. And then one person makes just this comment, not hurtful, but it just kind of hits you the wrong way. It just kind of seems weird. And then the person next to you starts talking to them about that comment and just trying to understand what's going on in their heart and start revealing something that was in that person's heart that they've been hurt in the past. And it starts ministering to their hearts. And all the people at the lunch table, they were just carrying on, having a good time, you know, just talking. But they all start to quiet down. And the person who's doing the ministering, he keeps talking. And the person next to him, he joins in and starts talking as well. And the rest just kind of quietly, just maybe have a quiet conversation by themselves. Christ is directing. Christ is directing one or two people to minister to this person to take care of their needs. And the rest of them just kind of take a back seat and just pray. What happens? The body of Christ is edified. The body of Christ is built up. You know, that's what submitting is all about. Submitting is taking part in what Christ is doing. It's about love. It's about taking care of each other. It's about following Christ. That's what submitting is. You know, if we're considering each other's needs, if we're remembering our purpose and our calling, submitting is easy. Submitting is a joy. Submitting is, all right, I get to see Christ working. That's what it is. So again, this whole section, it's about our calling. It's about who we've been made to be. It's about Christ is calling us to something new, something greater than we've ever seen before. Certain things fit into that. Certain things don't. You can take your pick what you want to do. But Christ is going to be working. Christ is going to be shining his light. As we take part in that, our light is going to shine as well. Things are going to be revealed. Things are going to get ugly. Things are going to get painful. But things are going to be glorious. And we get to be a part of that. So, thanks. We're going to take a break, Jesse?
Yep. 30 minutes. Be back at